The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Speak for a little while, and I'd like you to ask, if you're willing, to listen to what I have to say. Some of them are stories. And listen from your depths, or listen from your heart, or listen from your stillness, or just listen from within some deeper way, not the usual place of maybe where you listen. And see what responds inside of you to what I say. So you have to listen to yourself to see what responds. Not your judgments, not your opinions, not your, your usual thinking, but there's something deeper inside that responds to what I'm going to say. And then what I'd like us to do is to form groups of five and then have a particular kind of way of conversing in that little group, which is first I'm going to ask you just to say your name, go around the circle and introduce yourselves in a simple way. And then go around the room and share in your circle in whatever way that you're comfortable with sharing. It doesn't have to be anything you're not comfortable with, hopefully. But to share something about what response did you have from these stories I'm going to teach you. I'm going to tell you this, what I'm about to tell you. What is it that what is it that responds inside of you that's beneficial, that's useful for you? What responds that's useful to you? Does that make some sense? So for those of you who would rather not be part of this, you're welcome to just sit quietly where you are, or you're welcome to leave. But it's nice to stay, I think. You can stay quietly and not be part of it. Just sit, meditate, and then we'll reform and bring that together at the end. And sometimes when people, when I say we're going to do these kinds of things that involve some kind of discussion with people, you know, talking to other people, some people get nervous and wish they hadn't come. And they're kind of figuring out, you know, is there some time I can leave without anyone noticing? So if you're one of those people, I'll say that most people who tell me that they had that feeling are afterwards very grateful. They're very appreciative that they stayed and it was meaningful for them to do this kind of process together. It's not that useful that we as a community come together here Monday night to have a chance to talk and meet each other. And it's a very important part of Buddhist spirituality is to know other practitioners, to have some contact. So that's what I have in mind. So hopefully you're willing enough to try this out. So the introduction to these stories is that I was in a conversation today with some other Buddhist teachers. And part of the topic of conversation was the various kinds of attainments that people talk about in Buddhism. And there's a graded level of attainments that people can supposedly reach, and graded levels of concentration states, and graded level of insight states. And, you know, if you're tired of going through grade school, you can, you know, you can, or if you're still interested in it, you can go through these different grades. And some people take a lot of, it's very important for some people to know that who has the right realization, who's at what grade, and it's very important for them to attain a certain grade of realization or attainment or concentration. And it's all this graded kind of level of way of looking at practice and looking at oneself. But there's a paradox, or there's an irony in this, in that as people mature, I prefer the word maturity than attainment, as people mature, as they ripen in practice, the fruit of that ripening is less and less interest in grades. Less and less interest in being someone who has an attainment, or identifying oneself as in oneself, this is how you're going to measure, this is how I'm going to hold myself, I need to be a certain person, my identity is dependent on, you know, attaining something. And there's less and less interest in being someone who has an attainment, having an identity around this whole thing. So that's the introduction to these stories. The first story is they're all from the Zen tradition. And the first story is the monk comes to the teacher and he asks the teacher, what is Buddha? What is Buddha? One answer would be, Buddha is the top of the grade. Buddha is the person who's attained the highest and the most ultimate. There's all kinds of answers you can have. And the teacher then responded to the student, so what is Buddha? And the teacher said, ordinary mind. Ordinary mind. Ordinary mind is Buddha. Do you have an ordinary mind? What does this point to? If ordinary mind is something everyone has, what does it point to? What responds inside of you when the teacher says, that's Buddha? And then there's a story of a Japanese Zen master named Bunkei, who lived maybe in the 1700s, 1800s, Japan. And he had a blind student. I guess he spent some time, years, maybe studying with him, around him. And at one point, this blind student said, you know, there's something different about you, talking to Bunkei. I'm blind, so what it means is I have to listen to people really carefully. I hear in their voices, probably much more in their voices than most people can listen to, can hear. And I hear something different that's different from everybody else in you. Everyone, when I listen to them, they always have an agenda. And when I listen to you, you don't have an agenda. Everyone has an agenda. Everyone wants something, trying to do something. And Bunkei has no agenda. So what responds inside of you to that? What responds in a useful way? How do you benefit from that response? And then the last story is a story of, actually two more stories. Bodhidharma is the person who's supposed to have brought Zen or Chan to China. And people didn't really know who he was. He somehow arrived in China without any big publicity about it. He just showed up, a simple monk. And but somehow the emperor heard that this monk from India had come, invited him to the court. And this was an emperor, very, very powerful emperor in China, who was a very devout Buddhist. And he had spent a lot of time building a lot of temples, a lot of monasteries and things, and building, you know, and commissioning statues and things, and doing all the good things a pious Buddhist emperor should do. And so Bodhidharma, as he came to the court, and the emperor said, what's the, you know, I've done all these building projects, I've done all this thing for Buddhism, I built all these temples and statues and supported monks and nuns, and how much merit have I acquired? Because that's a big part of some certain types of Buddhism, acquiring merit for your next life and whatever. And Bodhidharma said to the emperor, imagine, this is the emperor of China, right? He said to the emperor, no merit. And so then the emperor said, well, what's the highest... I forget exactly how it goes, but what's the highest meaning of the... What's the highest truth? What's the highest meaning of the truth of Buddhism? And Bodhidharma said something like, no meaning. No truth. Everything is empty. So then the emperor looked at this strange monk from India and said, who are you? And Bodhidharma said, I don't know. And then as the story goes, Bodhidharma then turned around and left the court. The emperor was kind of stunned by this and couldn't respond quickly. And after Bodhidharma had left, the emperor turned to someone and said, who was that person? And someone said, well, he was a great Indian monk, enlightened, or I don't know what they said. And so so the emperor sent someone after him. But it was too late. He'd already crossed the rivers and disappeared into the mountains. And then he went and sat in the mountains for 9 years, meditating, after this great audience with the emperor. Nothing holy. That's what he said, nothing holy. What's the highest meaning of the holy truths? And Bodhidharma said, nothing holy, everything empty. So then the last story. There was a person in China who, maybe it was a monk or a nun, I don't know, but a person who was known to have psychic abilities. And this person could kind of read the minds of different Buddhist teachers and monks and kind of see where they were in the grades and how their attainment and how still and concentrated their mind is or how empty it was or, you know, how filled with loving kindness it was or something. But he could kind of see into what other people couldn't see. So there was this Zen master nearby, and so someone asked him to come into town, and so I guess this psychic was supposed to kind of read him, and the psychic was kind of completely confused, befuddled, when this Zen master showed up. And he said, you know, when I tune into your mind, I just see a kind of image of the river right nearby here, near where they're sitting, the river with a boat going down it. Nothing special. Just the local scene of the town, boat going by, was in the mind of that Zen master. Nothing special. No attainment. No one who attains. No agenda. Not needing to, Bodhidharma didn't need to be anybody special for the emperor. So these are the stories. So what responds inside of you to those stories? And what responds inside that's useful for you, that's beneficial for you? So the instruction now is, if you're willing, and I would ask you to please be, is to try to form groups of five. I think five is a good number. And if it's not easy to form five, it can be more or less. And then when you're in a group, if you can just go around, just say your name, so everyone knows your name. And then the person with the longest hair can start. And then just offer something. It doesn't have to be anything profound. It doesn't have to be anything special. You don't have to be a person of attainment. You don't have to have an agenda. You don't have to prove yourself. But see if there's something that you can offer as a response or something to this group that you're with. And this kind of conversing, opinions are not important. Please don't just offer your opinion of story and how it should be better. Just a better story but rather just offer something inside. Because what you're doing in this circle of a group of five is you're each going to contribute to a group process. You're going to contribute to the group as a whole. And it's not going to be so much that me as an individual, it's all about me and what I say and how brilliant I am or how embarrassed I am or something, but rather you offer something simple. And then the next person responds, offers something simple in response to these stories. And then you, each time you hear someone, you're going to be influenced by what they say. And when you speak, your group will be in some way influenced by what you say. And then you'll go around, and the idea is not to have a long speech. The idea is to say something simple, and so that you have a chance to go around your circle two or three times. And as you go around the circle two or three times, perhaps something will begin happening that couldn't happen if you just kept it to yourself and or had a conversation in an ordinary way. You're influenced by each other and hear each other. Does that make sense? So if you're willing, if you, you either find a group of five, if you'd like to sit quietly, you're welcome to do that, and interrupt your conversations. Sorry, a little apologetic for doing that. It seems so nice. But I thought it would also be important to kind of, I don't know, bring it to closure or bring it together. And I think the first thing I'd like to ask is a few of you would offer to say what that was like to be part of that exercise. And you know, having a few different people speak, we hear maybe very different perspectives or experiences. Nice to hear. Especially for me, I wasn't part of any group.
I found it fun, and I was surprised. Not that I was anticipating an unpleasant experience, but I also was very surprised as to how through the act of speaking and sharing, I was able to connect the stories, and I was surprised at the meaning I came up with. Mm. And it was fun also listening to other people's sense of it as well.
Great, thank you, Nina. Someone else, and also I'd like to start a custom here where more common to say each other's say our names when you speak. So if you could, you know, if you're willing to say your name before you speak, it would be nice, I think.
So my name's Sonia, and I'm definitely one of the proverbial people who thought, oh no. but it was a very wonderful experience to kind of go around, even though I have the longest hair and I did have to speak first. I thought it was a wonderful way to connect. I find in the day-to-day, and I'm sure a lot of us here, you know, have jobs where we're on all the time and you have to make split-second decisions. And I come here and everything slows down. One of the wonderful experiences that happens after the meditation and after the Dharma talk is that very often I'll look around the room and I'll be like, you know, it just makes me so happy to be surrounded by people, but I feel distance because we're not talking. And so this has been a fantastic way to kind of connect with the people that I feel close to after having participated in this experience. So so thank you very much.
Great.
For allowing us to do this.
Great,
today.
And thanks for staying.
I'm Joshua, and I've come to Monday sittings for numbers of years, and it's very pleasant to see that everybody has a voice, because most times we come, it's quiet, leave, it's quiet. So being able to talk with the people around me at length, more than just saying, hi, this is my name, nice to meet you, it really was stimulating, and I hope we get to do it more.
Great.
Yeah, I thought, Chris, my name's Chris, and I was really getting into it, and then you interrupted me. Anyway, Yeah, it was a really interesting experience, and everybody in the group had really interesting things to say, and I feel like some of the other people that have spoken here, that it was nice to get that connection rather than just coming here and leaving and that sort of thing, and so to really connect with other people, it's really great.
Great. Thank you, Chris. So a lot of the comments were, you know, really how nice it is to connect to people here, and which I value hearing that. I think it's important. I also appreciate when we all have a chance, you all have a chance to talk. But then what about, anybody who wants to say something about what responded inside of themselves, both to the story, if you'd like, it's the stories, but also anything deeper responded inside of you in hearing other people speak about their response? What can you say about the inner response?
I'm Trudy, and I had a response early on with the stories because the word ordinary was a trigger for me. Ordinary mind. I mean, I had immediate resistance to that. And as the stories went on, and I realized more about letting go and having no this and no that and no the other thing, I realized, you know, it's okay to have an ordinary mind.
Great. Thank you.
My name is Astrid. I had the opposite reaction. I was like, oh my God, I wish in my mind would only be, you know, that picture of this river and the sailboat, because that's usually not the case. My mind is going very fast. So I was like, oh, that's actually possible. So
one of the responses I thought I had was how to have such an ordinary mind without being a monk, because most of the stories were about monks meditating for 9 years in a forest or stuff like that. So, yes.
Great. Good question. It's a practical and realistic question for the people here. And back there, if you can pass them.
I don't usually talk in a group at all, so I don't know any of you, so that makes it safer. My name is Dorothy, but in the group that I was in, you know, we share. I had a wonderful sharing, and this was I liked this very much. But you know, we live in such a high stressed part of the world and high powered area, and what came to me as we talked and shared was that sort of a common deep hunger to be ordinary, to be, as one person, the word that the person used was to be, it's a relief, you know, that we don't have to measure up, that we still are.
Nice.
And that's something that's, I think it's important to remember that we, doesn't mean we don't have high stress jobs and continue to produce and everything, but I think it's sometimes maybe the spin that we give on our lives that is the difference between being and doing and trying to figure out how that all works together.
Yes, it's been wonderful. I appreciate hearing that a lot. Keep the mic for a moment, because I have a question for you, if I may. Is what responded inside of you, deep inside, not in words or in ideas, but what responded inside of you to being rather than doing?
Well, that was interesting because the word that came to me was freedom, especially with the first two stories I liked very, very much and resonated with. And that was, I don't know if that's a feeling as much as it's a word, but it's freedom. And it has been a word that has been with me for a long, long time. From quite a few years ago when I was having some body work done, the word that I was asked as I went into it, she said to me, "What's the first word that comes to you about what do you want?" And that was the word that came to me, and so that's been the word that has stayed with me, and it came back again tonight in these stories.
Great. So, and then, if it's okay to ask, is there any part of your body that responds to the word freedom?
That responds to what?
The word freedom.
The word freedom. The heart space.
The heart space. And if you're willing, how does the heart space respond to that concept?
It just kind of like had a sense of opening up.
So opening up. Beautiful. Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you for... So that's a nice way to end. May in the course of this coming week, may ordinary mind, the open heart mind, space, freedom, may something about as you go through your life and through your days, may you be open to allow for something deep to respond. For some place to respond to what's going on around you, the response from freedom or simplicity or like Bunke, no agenda.
So. But you had an agenda for tonight.
I had an agenda? It might not have worked. Great. Thank you all.